Thank you.
One thing that we're planning to do in a couple of weeks for the nine lessons, we're going to list the names of the choir members who were in the 1974 nine lessons, the very first nine lessons and carols, and some of these folks are going to be on that list. But not only the sanctuary choir, but also participating in that first nine lessons, the youth choir and the chancel choristers. And next Sunday, all three, well, and the senior adult choir, will be singing for us. So did you notice that this is the 50th anniversary of a Charlie Brown Christmas? Any of you see the special the other night? Can you believe it's 50 years? It started in 1965. A Charlie Brown Christmas, a lot of us grew up with that classic, is truly one of the greatest children's Christmas animated stories. And it has been now for half a century. Charles Schulz was a man ahead of his time. There's so many important messages that come out in a Charlie Brown Christmas, including the fact that Charlie Brown was not happy. In fact, he was depressed, wasn't he? It lets us know that when the world is saying it's the most wonderful time of the year and it's supposed to be a time of happiness and joy, that if you don't feel that way, it's okay. But one of the reasons that I love a Charlie Brown Christmas so much is that out of all of the great children's classics, animated classics, and there's some wonderful ones, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. But do you realize that a Charlie Brown Christmas is the only one that proclaims the true message of Christmas? It keeps Christ in Christmas. As Charlie Brown is searching for the meaning of the season, as he's disillusioned by all of the commercialism, all of the things that were going on around him, it was Charlie Brown who learned in a beautiful and a powerful way what Christmas is all about. And who will ever forget Linus standing on that stage, quoting from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the true meaning of Christmas. Well, less than a decade before a Charlie Brown Christmas made its appearance, there was a similar story going on in Danville, Virginia. A lady by the name of Frances Spencer was somewhat disillusioned by all of the commercialism of Christmas. And then, to top it off, some well-meaning members of her church, the Lutheran Church of the Ascension in Danville, put a Christmas tree in the sanctuary. And Frances didn't like that one bit, because she thought a Christmas tree in the sanctuary, that is a symbol of commercialism. That's all of the things that Christmas is not. But then she decided, rather than complain and be negative, maybe God was using that and could use her to make a difference. Because back in the Second World War, Frances had learned to make her own Christmas ornaments. And she learned to do that because of the war. The family couldn't afford to go out and purchase ornaments, so she made her own. So after the first year that the Christmas tree appeared in her sanctuary, 1956, she went to the pastor and she said, "Would it be okay if I made some ornaments for the Christmas tree?" And he said, "Absolutely." And so she started to make ornaments that she came up with the name Chrismon, Christ and monogram, a representation, a symbolism of Christ. And in 1957, that first year when the Christmas tree became a Chrismon tree, There were 12 chrismons on the tree. She thought she had told the gospel story, but then it kept expanding and kept growing. And 20 years later, Al Martin and some members from this congregation and Mrs. Mahipa Jones made a journey to Danville, Virginia, and introduced First Baptist Lexington to the chrismon tree. The tree that is not a Christmas tree, but a tree that proclaims the true meaning of Christmas. I've always loved this tree for many, many reasons. You notice the focal point of this tree is what we call the Trinity Circle. And it is a circle because God, who was in the beginning and forever shall be, who creates a world that never ends, and at the top of the circle you have the hand of God descending into His creation. And then you have the other two members of the Trinity. You have Jesus, who is represented by a lamb. The Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist proclaimed. But when you look very closely at this, you notice there is one red bead. It's so small that you can't even see it from where you are. But when you get a chance, look at it. It represents, as we read in the book of Revelation, the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb who becomes the sacrifice for our sins. And then we have the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, who represents, of course, the coming of the Holy Spirit into our life. And at the very center of this Trinity circle, you have a shamrock. You remember it was St. Patrick who explained the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit by using a shamrock. It is three in one, so you have a triangle and you have the circle representing the Trinity, three in one, who become the very presence of God. One of my favorite parts of the tree, and these are some of the old chrismons, is the church year series. If you were here last Sunday, I said today is the first Sunday of the church year. Advent is the beginning of the church year, in which we focus on these wonderful prophecies. And so you see in the symbol for Advent, we have from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." From Advent, we go into the season of Christmas. Now, I've already mentioned that beautiful, beautiful open rose that represents Mary and the birth of Christ. There's a different flower, a gladiolus, that represents the birth of Christ on this. A gladiolus, by the way, comes from the Greek word gladius, that means sword. And so we have the word gladiator. And the reason this flower has this name is because the leaves look like little swords. The Word came into our world. The Word of God is described as a two-edged sword. So Christmas is symbolized by the beautiful flower, the gladiolus. And then we go into Epiphany. Epiphany is when the wise men followed the star, and Epiphany is when we come to an understanding of who Jesus is. And so there is the star of Bethlehem. We move from the season of Epiphany into the season of Lent. And this is one of the symbols that I think is one of the most powerful symbols on the tree. It's a symbol of a mother pelican, and her babies are at her feet. But you'll notice there are four little red beads that symbolize blood. The story is that a mother pelican in a time of drought or a time of famine will pierce her own breast and take her own blood to feed and sustain her babies. This is the symbol for the season of Lent, that Jesus, the Christ, gave his own life. It is through his blood that we find life and hope. And we move from Lent to the celebration of Easter, and there is a phoenix. A phoenix. You know the story from Egyptian mythology, who rises out of the ashes from death into life. And then from Easter, we have ascension. And ascension is symbolized by Elijah's chariot. Remember that great story? Elijah didn't die. He just got into that fiery chariot and he went all the way up to heaven. So that is the ascension of Christ. And then the last season is the season of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes and the flames represent the coming and the presence of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You see how this tree tells us a story? And there's so many other wonderful symbols. You can look at the disciples and read all of the details about the disciples. You see back here some of the symbols of the different parables. When we study the parables of Jesus, there are many of the chrismons that we find that depict the parables, and then all different kinds of crosses. But there's one more that I want to mention, and that is this beautiful chrismon, the vine and the branches. Now, this is very special for a number of reasons. One is because Joyce made it, and it is a beautiful, beautiful chrismon. But as I was thinking about what Brenda and Melinda have done, what Mahipa and Al Martin and others started back in the 70s and what is continued today, isn't that a beautiful symbol of who we are as the church? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. This is where it begins, but it takes all of us, just like it took all of these individuals and even more who worked together to make this beautiful tree. But working together, we have a symbol of beauty. We have a proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. Like Charlie Brown, here is the true meaning of Christmas. It is the Word made flesh who dwells among us, the Lamb of God who comes and dies for our sins. I hope and pray that our celebration of Christmas is much more than just the beautiful music and all of the decorations and the beauty and the family gatherings, but most importantly, that it become a proclamation of the gospel that we find in our chrismon tree.